listening to the Cook and Bartender Podcast with hosts Adam and Tiny, talking everything you want to know about the hospitality industry. And now on with our show.
Hey, welcome back to Cook and Bartender Podcast. It's been a couple weeks since we recorded. Glad to be back with this microphone in front of my face. And to see Tiny's face in front of my face.
Right, with a microphone in front of my face.
Double microphones. We're double mic today, boys.
We're not double fisting, we're just double micing.
Yeah, right. How you been, bud?
I'm doing good. I can't believe it's August.
Wow, almost mid-August, too.
Isn't that weird? I don't know what the hell happened.
It's been like the craziest summer. It's so busy, and like the exhaustion's kicking in, season of life. But at the same time, you look back, and you're like, fuck, it flew by.
Yeah.
Like, it was May yesterday.
Right.
I think it's because we've been so busy that we just didn't have time to think about the dates or the calendar.
No, on your days off, you're too lazy to go do anything.
Right. I've never slept so long in my life than I did yesterday on my day off.
You got to do that once in a while. I got to recharge the batteries or something.
I don't even sleep, man. My brain's like ADHD city, and I literally slept on and off for 20 hours.
I did 18 hours a couple weeks ago.
It was great.
I just woke up the next day. I'm like, yes.
I was mad at myself when I woke up from it, but then I was like, actually, my body was just saying, shut the fuck up and go to sleep.
Yeah.
Recharge.
Yeah.
You know, you got to press the button.
You need to recharge.
Yeah.
Speaking of recharging, what's that funky little cup you got in your hand?
No, I got this cool little cup that we sell at work, and it's from a place called Silly Pint, S-I-L-I Pint. It's medical-grade silicone, travel, unbreakable cocktail, and it comes with a lid and a straw, and it also has a sippy top on top.
Really?
Yeah, and they're super cool.
And wow.
I love it because I love to clink my drinks, my ice. You can always hear it in the podcast, my ice clinking.
Yep, or my ice.
Guess what? You can't hear it. We can do a quiet cheers. And you're drinking out of plastic, too.
I am.
You got a silly straw, though.
I got a silly straw, because I'm a silly.
Because we're silly. Now, that's pretty cool to see a grown man drinking a strong Jim Beam out of a pink silly straw.
Hey, look at the pants I wear sometimes.
Who are you? I just got a pink unicorn tattoo. Come on, now.
Well, there you go. That's a pretty sweet tattoo, actually.
It is pretty good. Right. Shout out to Benchmark Tattoo in Duluth, Minnesota. Kyle James is the artist. He does amazing work. So yeah, if you're in the northern area of Wisconsin or Minnesota, yep, go there. So what's up, man? What's on your mind these days?
Well, I was driving because I went and saw my mom a couple days ago, and I was driving. And I got tired of listening to music, so I just put on a podcast, which I don't do very often, but I did. Got into restaurants and paid around the world, blah, blah. I'm like, going. And they got into one thing about equality of the front and back of the house and pay. I kind of want to see equality of pay. Yes, we should have equality of pay between the front and back of the house. There's many times that I was working because I'm a back. And here it is. I'm going to lay it right on the floor. There's front of the house people and back of the house people.
Personality-wise.
And yep. I never wanted to be the front of the house. I'm not a person who want to go and talk to people. I can do it.
Yep.
I'm good at doing I do it.
I know a lot of people who choose the back of the house for that reason.
Yep. And we love the back of the house. But when it comes to pay, how are we going to do equality work of pay between the front of the house, back of the house, when the back of the house, say you open at 5. The back of the house gets there between 10 to 2, or whatever, it depends what your job is, what you do. You work 10 hours, 8 hours, whatever you work.
Yeah, you're set up the kitchen, you're prepping.
You're doing this.
You're getting the menu ready for
getting
the
menu ready, maybe changing the menu, talking about whatever.
Yep.
Well, the waiters come in at, say, 4 o'clock, set the dining room up, sit around for 10 minutes on their phone, and then all of a sudden they work for 4 hours, 6 hours, and off they go. There's many times the waiter's mad because I only made 17% today, you know, and it could have been who knows why, the reason, who knows. And I'm like, okay, so you made $400 in your 6 hours, plus your tip, your wage. And it depends upon the state. I mean, Wisconsin, it could be anywhere from $2 and some odd cents up to 15. Who knows where you work?
Right. Some states are 220 minimum wage for tipped workers. I think we're in the mid fours here in Wisconsin.
Yep. So it's like
Minnesota's $6 ish.
Yeah. No, Minnesota's no tip thing. So they had to do whatever minimum wage is, and they're working their way up to about $15 an hour now. So do you tip that person who's making $15 an hour? And then when I was I'm like going, okay, thanks. You only made $300 some. I made $68 today. You know, I'm just.
Just hourly. Right.
I mean, of course.
So let me ask you this in your experience, because this is a very, very good topic to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, especially now me being like front of the house, you know, but I've been back of the house.
Yep.
Have what percentage are like, you know, the places you've worked at as the cook or the chef, you know, did you get a cut of the server tips at most places or no?
No.
No.
The only time I ever got a tip, part of the tip, is when I worked at this country club and when we did big banquets. We got the tips, and then the man, general manager, the chef, split out the money. Of course, the waiters probably got, I mean, I don't know, I never asked, but I'd get some money here, we got some money out of that, the tip from the, right. I was going to say funeral, I really wanted to say wedding. Sorry, people, they get married. But yeah, that's the only time I ever got tipped, was when they were doing a big catering company.
So you typically, in your lifespan, working for different places, you just got an hourly wage.
Hourly wage.
That was it.
And then sometimes the people are like, oh, the person at table five, here's $5 for you, whatever, you know.
Right. Food was great.
Food was great, you know, blah, blah, or some $10, whatever it is. But usually, no. But and I always told the waiters, waitresses, don't cut your money in front of the cooks. Don't tell us what you made or what you, we don't want to know. Because we're happy. But right now, you're like, oh, yeah, I made $300 and I worked 4 hours.
Yeah, and I've seen that in places too, and you almost feel bad for, you know, the back of the house if they're not getting cut into it,
mm-hmm.
because you know, I mean, I've been in the back of the house, and like, you are primarily back of the house person, you know, like, it's grueling.
It's grueling, but I'm like, I don't care, because I don't want to deal with people, so I'm like, I'll deal with my
You love
wife.
What you do.
Yeah.
And the people that are in the back of the house that, like, you know, crush it in a busy, you know, whether it's a high-end place or a breakfast joint or whatever, it doesn't matter, like, the kitchen is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And the servers get paid off of what comes out of that kitchen, you know.
Yep.
But the pride's there. You know, you guys love what you do.
Yep.
Chefs loves what they do. Cooks, line cooks love what they do. Sous chefs loves what they do. They just love it.
We
and
love
I've seen it.
Yeah.
And they don't get cut in. And I've watched it where, like, even as a server, I've been a server in a place and, like, I'm counting $350 right now in cash on top of my wage. And I didn't really even hustle that much. I mean, I have a good personality, and you know, I get tipped for what I do. But I can see the kitchen slaving. You know what I mean? It's intense and hot, and everyone's yelling, and you're going, and it's busy. And they all made $12 an hour.
Yeah, and I love it. I don't get me wrong.
But they come out pride, like, you know, like high-fiving each other, and I love that. But I would see that one server who would just, like, start counting their money in front of them. And you could see almost, like, the drown on their face, like, fuck. I was so proud of what I just did with my crew. We didn't fuck up. We put all this high-end food out, and you do all this stuff, and then they're super jacked. They're high-fiving like a football team after a victory.
Yeah.
And then that one, like, shitty server is just like, I made $490 in tips. And like,
and she only worked 5 hours.
She had five tables, but it was a $100 a plate kind of joint, you know, and really didn't do anything and didn't really charm anyone.
Right.
But they're tipping her on the percentage thing, you know, so like, I feel bad. So like, this wage equality thing, I have mixed feelings about this.
Yep.
Because I'm front of the house, but I also work in a place where we cook. Like, our front of the house is also the back of the house.
Yep, it certainly is.
You know what I mean? We bartend and cook all behind one bar. So there is no, like, technically back of the house. And we do split our tips equally. I do feel like I work my ass off to charm the world, to make everybody happy. I put on a show. Like, that part of me comes out when I'm busy. So much effort. So when I do get my tips at the end of the night, I can say, man, I made everybody's day better.
Yeah.
I crushed it, and I earned what I did, because I'm putting that 1,000% into, like, I don't even care if I like you or not. I'm going to make you smile.
Yeah, because I do the same thing. I see the people, like, oh, I hate that guy. You know, I just hate that person. But he's in the restaurant I'm working at, and I'm going, I still got to feed him. I still got to give him the best quality food I can do.
So I'm like mixed reviews, because I've worked in other places where I've seen that, and I feel bad for the cooks.
Yeah.
You know, you got 12 people deep in the kitchen, and they busted their ass, and they come out sweaty, and, like, they didn't get any tips. And you just want to almost cry for them or hug them, like, thank you. I couldn't have done my job without it.
Yep. I feel bad.
On the flip side, in the past 5 years, being front of the house and putting that show on, I'm slightly biased in the sense, but only 1 out of 100, I think, people that are front of the house really, really take it to heart like I do. Like, I go home and I don't care what's in my wallet. I did it because I know I made this person smile and that kid smile and that family fucking had their best, you know, experience of their life. And that's more valuable than money to me. Obviously, we all love money. But I think, so I do feel like there's not a, I feel like there should be more, what'd you call it?
I hate the word equality.
Equality.
But there's no such thing as equality. If there's equality, the cooks should come out with more money in their pockets than the waiters do if they're going to
get, I honestly believe
the
that.
Pay.
And there's a new trend now, and it's slowly growing, you know, and it depends on which city you are and, you know, what the mentality is in that city. But where it's like, hey, everyone makes $20 an hour, and we do not allow tipping.
Yep.
There's part of me that loves that concept.
I want to go to the place and see how the waiters actually do. Do they take, like, now you're getting $20 an hour. Do you get ownership now? Do you feel that ownership of that business?
That's an interesting.
Because sometimes I don't. Excuse me, sorry. Sometimes I don't think the people take ownership. That, but they're just there for the money.
So
they're like the circus. They come here. Here's your food. Boop, boop. Yeah. And they walk out with their money, and then see you later. Bye.
That's actually a good term, ownership. And where I work, like, I'm very fortunate to have. I mean, we've had some lemons. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Many lemons, but our rock star is what I call unicorns.
Yep.
Myself, I put myself in that category. I go to work.
I say you're the stud rock horn.
Stud unicorn. No, I'm a woonicorn.
You're a woonicorn.
Woonicorn.
There you yes. go, yes.
Yeah, Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. Long short is, like, I do go into work with an ownership mentality.
That was my ice machine, sorry.
Oh, I thought it was a ghost. Long short, though, like, I pretend I own that bar and grill.
If I worked there long enough, I really like it, I take ownership.
Ownership mentality.
Ownership mentality.
So there's this debate that you put in front of the table is very interesting to talk about because, okay, cool, pay everybody $20 an hour front and back. No tips.
Nope.
Everyone can pay their bills, feed their kids, send them to school, do whatever, you know, like life things.
Life things.
The tire goes flat, you can get a new tire. Because you make a livable wage.
Right. And
but in this industry, I've also noticed a lot of people that love to just do nothing to get the tips. A lot of front of the house. Like, I am front of the house right now.
Yep.
Like, my mentality, if I had to choose which one I am, I'm front of the house.
I'm still back of the house, even though I do wait tables.
Right.
I do the best I can.
One-man band. You know, you put the entertainment show on. But long story, I don't even know what the right answer is. $20 an hour, hands down, no tips in this restaurant. Perfect. And a lot of countries do this.
Like French.
I think some of the Norwegian countries and stuff do that. So part of me loves that concept.
And I think...
But there's part of me that's like, man, I'm so much better than most at front of the house.
Yep.
Like, I earn my fucking tip, if that makes sense. And I see the people that are like, they don't say anything to anyone. They just, here's your drink and here's your thing. And there's no jokes. There's no thought. Like, I go into work sometimes and I know a certain guest is here for the week. Like, I pre-plan jokes. I pre-plan things. Like, I really put a lot of work into my front of the house show.
You do.
I'm 1 out of 100. I'm a unicorn. So... I agree with this equality thing.
I totally agree with the equality.
One aspect, but I also disagree with it because I feel like if I just fucking got $20 an hour, but I'm going above and beyond and I watched all my front of the house workers just, here's your food and I'm going to check my Facebook, you know, in between orders, then why am I fucking...
Here's a pot of coffee. We'll talk to you later.
Like, I'll literally spend 10 hours preparing for a certain guest, knowing they're coming. Like, for example, we have a guest coming. They live up the road. They brought... Last year, they had, I think it's, I don't know, their granddaughters or something.
Yeah.
2 years ago, they had drank like 55 kitty cocktails over 5 days. So last year, they came in and it was like, you all got to beat your record. You know, some goofy stuff. And the kids loved it. And the grandparents loved it. And they're like, oh. So they set a goal to beat the record. So what did I do? This is how I go all in on what I do. Yep, I had trophies ordered with their names on them.
Did you really?
World Kitty Cocktail World Champions 2020, and they've been sitting in the fucking back closet at work, and they're showing up. The grandparents are showing up, so I'm going to send them home to give them to their grandkids.
They're so proud.
You know what I mean? Like, those are the things that I do.
Yeah.
You know, I spend money, I spend time, I spend effort. I'm like so, I'm so front of the house. It's amazing. Wears me out a lot. So I don't know. What's the best solution?
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, and one thing you. We glorified the being cooks and chefs, and that's why we had so many, all of a sudden, cooking schools.
Yeah.
Now they all went bankrupt, because cooking is actually hard, and you can't just come out of cooking school and become a chef.
Yes.
You come out of cooking school, you're still a cooking cook. You're still a salad person with knowledge.
You still got to work your way up to it.
You got to work your way through. Unless you're really good, you can work your way up, or you, I have no idea, but you got to work your way through it. So, that being said, I think we got to start looking at the hospitality industry, the cooks and the waiters and everything, try to make equal somehow. I have no idea how to do it, but we also got to call it a career. It's not just a job anymore.
It has to be, because
if it's just a job, you come and go. I mean, it is if you're in college, it's your job for a little bit, but it could be a career. I mean, if you don't like, all of a sudden you're in med school, you know, you're your first year, and I'm like, this isn't for me. But man, I really can love working at Happy Joe's, you know.
Yeah.
Slapping, you know, hauling food, making people happy.
I tell a lot of our interns, you know, we have college interns.
It's a career.
You know, 2 years. And I say, you know, the cool thing about working here, you know, like, I take a lot of pride in training to be, like, really good bartenders and, like, smash that grill out and, like, do the things, you know. And a lot of that pride is, like, I want to see them shine, you know. It's parental. Yep. It's, like, fucking, like a coach.
Yeah, like a coach.
Like, Phil Jackson was not Michael Jordan, but he coached Michael Jordan.
Yeah, because the coach is like the dad of the team.
Yeah. And so, like, the older I get, the more I'm looking at it like that. But I also tell them all, even if you do graduate college, like, you can make a lot of money and you can be successful and have a lot of, like, emotional reward from this business. There's a lot of emotional reward. But also, like, yeah, when you get out of college and you might be a medical student, but maybe you still need an extra few bucks, or, you know, now you got married and you have a fucking kid, you know, but you're still in your young 20s. Like, if you love the game, you could always fall back on it.
And you can go anywhere in the world, or at least in the world, the United States, get a job, career. If you're a career, I'm a career person. I'm a career person.
People like us that are in the industry, we consider it a career.
Yeah, and then I hate the people that I want to sometimes walk behind out of the kitchen when I hear them say, well, were you ever going to get a job? Or am I going,
you know how many
this
times
is my career. This is my job.
Do you know how many times I
make
that a week?
Money.
Do you know how many times I hear that a week? Oh, well, what's your real job?
Yeah.
I laugh.
I make a lot of money doing what I do.
I actually made more money than all my other, like, quote, if you can see my quotes that I'm using, the real jobs that I've had. I actually make equal amount, if not more. I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
But they look at you like, where are you going to get a real job?
Yeah. No. Cooking and bartending and waiting.
Where are you going to get your hamburger?
Yeah.
You know?
If this is not a real job, then let's close all the restaurants.
Is a garbage man a real job? I consider.
I think so. Yeah,
a career.
It's a career.
And what would you do without said garbage man?
Well, I guess I would be. I don't know. I'd be
all of our yards would stink,
right?
Because our garbage would be piled up.
There'd be more pollution in the world.
Yeah, you know, like every job. That guy was right out there. Speaking of this, there's a guy out there mowing your lawn.
Yes, there's a background noise right now.
But guess what? That's his career.
That's his career.
And he's happy doing it. He's making a living. So,
yep.
Yeah, long, short. So let me ask you this, though.
All right.
You got my brain going fast.
Hey, it's not my fault.
I listen to a lot of people and they're talking about, oh, nobody wants to go to work. Nobody wants to go to work. You're just collecting unemployment. I think I have a different philosophy on it. I feel like there's a lot of cats like you, back of the house people especially, but I think this industry as a whole has kind of been abused forever.
I'd say it's been abused for a long time. Then we got glorified because of the cooking channel. Because, you can be a chef and this and that.
You're right.
It takes a lot of more than just talented cook to be a chef.
And I also don't think the average person who hasn't worked in this industry really understands, like, how grueling it is and how intense it is. So I think right now, I don't think it's an unemployment thing where everyone's just getting government money. I think it's a micro-revolution where people are like, hey, I've only done this for 20, 30 years. That's all I've ever known is to slave in the kitchen.
Yep.
You know, I pay the bills. My family's good. We got a roof over our head. And then they were forced out of the industry.
It wasn't really forced, but you had to do something. You had to make your mind up.
Right. But they were forced out of the industry because of the COVID.
COVID, yep.
But that was the first time in their lives they had a fucking moment to sit back and say, do I really want to go back into this? Or do I want to find something that I have more time? And, you know, I think we've touched on this on a separate podcast even. But
yeah,
I feel like this is a, or maybe I'm just super up, but I think it's a realization that, and I'm hoping it's a realization for employers and people in this business that do know it, that, hey, we should pay everybody a little bit more.
We should. And I here's the thing. If I got to pay more people, if I was running a restaurant, I got to pay more people more money. Well, your burger that you're paying $7 is not going to turn into a $15 burger. Because I got to pay my waiter more, or pay my cooks more, pay my dishwasher more, which actually dishwasher should be paid more because that's a fucking hard job.
Yep.
And actually, if you didn't have a dishwasher, you wouldn't be eating in the first place.
Exactly.
So.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right? So I was like, we got to raise the prices on food. I mean, I rose prices on my food this year due to the fact that, not that I want more money, it's just that I need more money to pay for my bills.
Our food costs have gone up tremendously
more,
too.
Yeah. Now, our food's going up, and they keep on blaming on COVID, whatever. So now my food price went up, so now you want me to pay my waiter more, which is cool. I don't mind doing that. But then your customer's going to suck up more. It's not coming out of my pocket. You know, Target doesn't go, well, I would pay everybody more money, but sorry, my dollar special is now $2.50 special.
Right.
Because the CEOs aren't going to say, you know what?
Yes.
My $40 million salary this year plus my 2.5 bonus.
But what I'm hoping is that, and I think I'm seeing it almost, but I only work at one establishment, so I don't know. But if you go anywhere and look at menus now, everything's $2 or $3 more an item. You know, we got six wings for $13.99, and we're breaking even on them.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that customers are used to it, I think. Like a $9.99 burger at a place like ours, you know, is $12 or $13. But if you go up the road to the other establishment and up the road to the next one and up the road, they're all $2-3 more. Yep. Everyone's trying to get a jump on the game. But I feel like, and maybe just because we're in a vacation place too, where people are willing to spend more money.
Yep.
I don't hear a lot of feedback. And what I'm hoping is, in my optimistic brain for this industry because of my passion for it, is that wages do increase because of this worker shortage.
Yes.
People are holding out, I think, more than...
Probably.
More than just collecting
money. I mean, I like your idea. I think it's a brilliant idea.
And I feel like if the society adapts to paying more because they're going out for an event, whether it's Friday night dinner, you know, once a week with their family, or it's a vacation, or it's whatever, that they're getting used to paying a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then that will also, once everything kind of levels out food cost-wise and the distribution chain breakdowns that are happening right now, where that's the new norm is higher price menus, also higher paid employees. And then this industry will be happier. We love what we do. We are a weird industry of, like, almost cult-like humans.
We're the, almost not everybody, but we, I don't want to say rejects, that sounds really bad, but we're the oddballs.
We are. A lot of people go into this industry because they can't find ground anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, myself included.
I love this industry, but you know, whatever.
Think about all the people you worked with in the kitchen, the oddball weirdo.
Oh, I mean,
this industry loves them.
But I think I worked with cereal coolers a couple times. Right. But man, they could cook a steak that you couldn't believe, you know?
Right, juicy and flowing.
Juicy, perfect, flowing, happy, personality. Like, but,
yeah, but they might have bodies in the freezer.
They might. You don't know. You know? You're like, what's that tattoo? Don't talk about my tattoos, sir.
Exactly. Right. You
know? They didn't say sir, they said something else. But
And that's a whole different, that's a whole different podcast almost. Yeah. This industry attracts strange people, but the people that do thrive, as weird as we fucking are, are super passionate about it.
And there's a lot of us will bend over backwards, help each other out. We're like a family.
Yeah.
Even though we don't make that much money, but we'll help each other out.
Yep. Exactly.
It's
we might even kill somebody for you.
You never know.
Freezer Freddy.
I'm not saying a word about that.
But long short, yeah, it's a super unique industry, but we are passionate about it. I think it's one of the most underpaid. I hate the word abusive, but I've seen people work way too hard and produce the most fascinating product, food or front of the house service, for pennies, you know.
I agree. And, I was there. I've been there. Done it.
You know, but once we get in it and we love it, we're sucked. You said it in our first podcast, I think. It'll suck you in.
It just sucked me in. And I tried to get out of it. Sucked me in.
I wanted to be a nurse, but it's food business sucked me in. I wanted to be a cop, but it sucked me in. But our passion is live. And so, I don't know. I just think this is a long-winded ramble, maybe. But
I don't think it's a long-winded ramble. I think we're adding question marks to people's brains.
Yeah. I think I'm super excited in my brain. The way I look at things, have been in this industry and seeing different places and how they operate, is just, I think it's a lot of people saying, hey, if you want me, fucking pay me. I was in Superior, Wisconsin, $15-16 an hour at McDonald's.
Great.
But you know what? I was actually happy to see that. Because even though it's fast paced and, well, you know, fast food is very programmed.
Yep.
Not like, you know, not necessarily, you know, cooking a filet mignon. But they still bust their ass. My first job was Burger King. I'll never forget how hard I had to fucking work, you know.
And
I made $6.50 an hour.
Oh, my first cook job, I was making, what was it? $4 an hour.
You're probably cooking at, like, not fast food. Actual cook job.
The first cook job was like four or something an hour, and it was in a hotel, and I was walked in as a salad person, and it was a big hotel, so we had to make dinner salads, and if a hotel was full, I had to make 300 dinner salads, set my line up. Depends who worked breakfast or lunch. I mean, I worked my ass off for $4 an hour.
Yep.
And it's like, it made me really happy when I got my check, though. I'm like, I really earned this money.
And you liked it, and you stayed in the business, you know, because you had a passion for it, even though you were just doing salads. Like, I think that's a different subject, too. Like,
but I have always had a passion for restaurants. I'm kind of the oddball weirdo.
Yeah. The weirdos, you know? That's what we attract to. You could be an insurance quote person and sit in a cubicle all day and make a lot of money.
Yep.
But I don't really think, like, you're just processing paperwork this all day, you know?
Yeah.
Quote, or like, whatever. Claims.
I have
claims,
a friend that whatever. Works. We're not friends. I don't call her friends. But he works for a huge corporation. He makes good money. I don't really understand what he does because he doesn't really tell me what he does. Because I'm just a paper pusher.
Paper.
He just pushes paper all day long.
Right. So let's just let's picture yourself as that person.
I'd be so bored.
You know, like when I go to work, like I said, I listen to the certain song to get me jacked up for a certain day because I know the crowd.
Eye of the Tiger, like you said before.
Eye of the Tiger, Wu-Tang, whatever I got to do, like depending on what I think my crowd is, what's going to get me juiced. You know, I think the night before I'm already thinking about fun stuff to put the show on.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the background noise. I got my guys mowing my yard and
he's a career mower.
Yeah, I hate mowing yards, so what the hell?
But I don't see a lot of like...
So you get a little background noise.
Insurance claim person really jacking up to go press a bunch of buttons. You know, like we do it. You get jacked, I guarantee it, to smash out some specials, you know, all of your places you worked at as a chef. Like, oh my God, this is like, it's exciting.
It's exciting. You know, it's exciting.
Here's my swordfish special. Here's my this. Here's my that. This is going to be awesome.
And of course, a lot of us cooks, bartenders, waiters, whatever, we're like, we don't want to be busy. And also, you're busy. Like, fuck, this sucks. Rah, rah. But then you're like, yes.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
And you're like, and they're like, that sucked. But man, that was fucking awesome. We killed it.
And then adrenaline goes in. And I think that's the weirdo part of us. That just kind of like, we made a lot of people happy.
Or we're like, we don't want to be busy. We don't want to be busy as fuck today. Like,
you know, we're kind of like, the people who are successful in this industry are kind of like rodeo clowns. You know, you're like, why the fuck did that person become a rodeo clown? But like, I don't know.
Because we like the abuse or something?
Something. And just that adrenaline and like that. Like, and you're putting on a show.
Yeah.
I equate like a lot of people who really spend their whole life in this business. So like, because we do get asked that every week. When are you going to get a real job? This is a real job.
And
I guarantee the rodeo clown, he gets that fucking same question too. What are you doing with your life? I'm doing what I love.
Yeah. That's it. So how about a taxi driver? Is that a real job? How about Uber? Is that a real job?
Right.
Yeah, it is a real job.
Because I need them.
Yeah. If you're making money doing what you do, that's a real job.
Yep. That guy right there riding lawnmower right now is making it. Your garbage man is making it. The postman. You know what? Sometimes we bitch about the line at McDonald's, but guess what? You're in line because you're waiting for a service, a product.
A product.
That milkshake, someone's got to make it. That's a real job. All jobs are real jobs.
Right.
Equality, we went out a little bit sideways on this.
We did the whole, what do we call it?
Going in circles?
Going in circles. Or
yeah. But no, maybe this is the revolution.
We squirreled it.
Maybe this is the revolution of employees actually getting more money because they can actually have it. Now, this is the first time they did have a little extra money. Maybe the government did give them that opportunity, but they're making their own decisions for once.
Maybe. I mean, I couldn't tell you. A guy owned my restaurant, so I got no real money from the government, per se. Yes, I got the first PPP loan, but that was nothing.
Well, I just had a recent conversation with a bar not far from your place.
Yeah.
So why would I ever pay anyone over more than $4 to be a bartender?
Right.
And I kind of got heated. Yeah. And I said, well, if you pay them $4, you're going to get $4 of entertainment and your guests are going to leave faster. You pay them $10, they have a little pride and passion. Now they want to keep your guests there. They're going to sell 20 Captain and Cokes, keep them there, keep them entertained. You're making money. They're making money. They want to come to work because they're excited.
Yep.
For $4 an hour and you have a slow day, guess what? You made $24 in an 8-hour shift. You might have got $20 in tips. What's the motivation? You pay them $12, $13, $14 an hour and you tell them, my expectation is you put the show on.
Put the show on. Get them here. Keep
them
here.
That gets them jacked. That's why I'm jacked when I go to work. I'm like, man, my paycheck's covered, but I'm going to make extra money for myself. I'm also have so much pride in the establishments taking care of me because I love the owners and their mentality on that. And that makes all of us that where I work, that's why we're always fired up and we're always in good spirits and we're always fucking putting on a show.
That's why I work in the back of the house because sometimes I don't have the spirit.
Plus, you're a damn good cook, so we need you in the back of the house.
But on the other hand, even if I'm a cranky little motherfucker asshole, my food still has to go out right because I can't see my food going bad.
Right.
You know,
you're
it's
passionate
like,
pride. Yeah. Yep.
Cooking for these people, also for one day I hate cooking for y'all, but my food is still.
But
not,
I need it to come out exactly.
It has come out in a certain way.
When I say man, when someone says man, I want Adam to make that old fashioned, because last time I was here, and that could be the biggest jagoff I ever met that I just really fucking hate. But when he says those words, like that's the best old fashioned I ever had. Can Adam make that letter? Hey, you're here, cool. Make me an old fashioned. I don't normally drink them, but like that's the one I want. Fuck yeah.
You can
be the biggest asshole in the world. But I'm like, cool. I'm going to make your day with this whole fashion. Like, my passion, my pride comes in.
So, speaking of a person that we all know, or me and Adam know, but this person doesn't like this. So, I just want, that's a shout out. You know who you are.
You know who you are. Good luck.
Yep.
That was perfect.
Yep.
Anyways, well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. That was a off the fucking wall one. We did not have a topic planned on this one. We just kind of went into it.
I guess what happened is I came here surly because I listened to two podcasts and it got me my till feathers ruffled.
And then you got my brain fired up
right?
after being shut off for a couple days.
But honestly, it's a good topic.
It really is, and I think everybody that's complaining out there about, like, oh, the government's just giving out money, like, I think if you sit back and look at the perspective of it, think about the 10, 13, 15 down an hour workers, whether it's in a retail or in this industry or wherever, I don't think it's them just being lazy. I think it's them taking time to check what they want in life, because we're all going to die. You know what I mean? And I think COVID forced them to fucking, like, in a sense, a lot of them lost their jobs, not on purpose. And then they sat back and they're like, wow, I see my kids now. Like, this is cool.
Yep. And maybe they're like, you know, I've always wanted to try this, but I didn't know how to get out of cooking.
Yeah.
Because cooking sucks you in.
It sucks
you in. How many times have you said that this podcast? I don't know.
I know.
But it sucks you in.
Right. And we love it, but it does suck you in. And I think this business does suck you in, but I think a lot of people are like, cool, I still love the business, but at the same time, I beat the shit out of myself for 20 years.
My knees
now.
Are killing me. My back is killing me.
And now I can go online and sell some things, and my kids are making things I could sell, or I can fucking get on the stock market because it's all on my phone, or I could work for Amazon, or I could be a delivery driver. I could just do a lot of things. Like, people are just not in a hurry to get back to, like, what the only thing they know. And I think, to me, that's so fucking cool.
I think it's cool, but I'm waiting for the younger generation to step up and say.
I think they will, but I think the younger generation's ahead of us. That's a whole different podcast.
That's a whole, I don't even know where to start on that one.
I will defend the younger generation. And you won't.
I'm not against them, but I'm waiting for them to show us something, I guess, or show me something. I'm old. What can I say?
We're getting old.
Maybe they have an idea that then somebody's like 21 years old, like, let's try this. I'm like, whoa.
I think you're going to see that.
That's going to be a mind blower.
Well, I mean, think about the internet. Jeez, just 30 years ago, people said, why don't
think about me and you being on a podcast 2 years ago? We never.
We got listened to an eight. I was actually had this conversation at work with a guest, and I was like, he was going off about the young generation and how they're lazy. And I was like, no, the young generation's not lazy.
They're just doing different.
It's a different era.
Yeah.
And I told him about our podcast, and he wasn't interested in the podcast per se, but I was like, you know, 18 countries heard me. I didn't have to buy a plane ticket.
Right? And where are you Africa, middle of Africa right
now. And he was like, that's unique perspective. And I was like, think about that. Like, because he was yelling about how kids are just on their phones all the time. I was like, they're doing things that we couldn't even fathom.
Right.
They're doing things that we couldn't even dream of.
We dreamt of the dictionaries, going page through the dictionary.
Encyclopedias.
Encyclopedia, man. Dude.
All 20 books.
That was sweet. Now, you got a phone and they're like, I have the top Apple phone right now because I traded up. Do I use it to its possible? No, I probably only use 10%.
I made $300 today selling cryptocurrency on my telephone.
Nice. So,
I don't even know what cryptocurrency is.
Nobody knows what it is.
But I did.
Yeah.
But I did it because I can.
Right.
So every time someone says these kids are on their phone, I'm like, yeah, those kids are going to smoke you in the future.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're steps above us.
I know a kid, kind of a kid that plays video games and makes money.
You can get paid to play games.
I can't play video. I'm never good at being, so whatever.
I mean, I was killer at Mario Brothers on Nintendo 64 back in 86 or whatever, 90.
I was good for Tetris. Tetris for a little bit, but
that's it. But we didn't get paid.
Oh.
So anybody that's shitting on the youth, I actually will always stand up and defend them.
Right on, brother.
You know what I mean?
And sisters and
unicorns
and non-unicorns and everybody in between.
Everybody, dude. I love you all.
Yep. All right.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Recorded at the world headquarters of the Cook and Bartender with Adam and Tiny.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Like, comment, follow, spread the word. We appreciate it. cookandbartender@gmail.com, cookandbartender on Facebook, or cookbartender@Instagram. Thank you.